Everybody shut up. Everybody shut up when I'm talking. Thank you so much. We have a golden rule here on B-Movie Mania, and that is low budgets equal high praise. On the count of three, let me hear you say high praise. One, two, three.
High praise.
Lovely. Second rule, very important. The boys from Perfect Turd Podcast are on the show. I want you to be really nice to them. On the count of three, I want to hear everybody say perfect turd. One, two, three.
Perfect turd.
Good. Now, on to the podcast. On the count of three, let me hear you say B-Movie Mania. One, two, three.
B-Movie Mania.
Welcome to the crossroads of camp, the bastion of the bizarre, the place where low budgets meet high praise. Yes, it's B-Movie Mania. And now, B-Movie Maniacs, here are your hosts, the cream of the crap, the connoisseurs of cult, your cinematic creepy uncles, Paul Brooks, Mike Hayes, Jason Hulls, and Crazy Chris Hudson.
Oh, one more thing, guys. Have fun out there.
Thank you.
Oh, my goodness. Good evening, butt boys. Good evening, butt girls. Good evening, butt people of all genders, really.
Or of no gender.
Welcome to another episode of B-Movie Mania. I am Paul A. Brooks. Joining me, per usual, is Mike Hayes. Is he doing something? What's going on?
We can't hear you, Mike.
You can't hear me?
There we go.
What? Oh.
Now we can. Oh, boy.
Wow.
It's a fart!
That's called foreshadowing.
Can't hear you, Mike.
I'm not talking.
Uh-oh.
I'm making a... The Zoom is getting rid of my fart noise because it thinks it's not intended. I've done it like... Is this a joke? I've done it...
No!
There you go.
No, it literally is getting rid of it.
Oh, God.
So you have... Paul, you have a million things to choose from. Which one was best?
Yeah, great. Jason Hulls.
That use one of Mike's fart noises.
Okay. And Chris Hudson.
Paul, you're pretty loose back here.
Oh, great. Glad to hear it. And as I mentioned at the top of the show, we do have two very special guests talking about this movie with us tonight. From Perfect Turd Podcast, Joe and Lamar are here. Gentlemen, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Thank you very much. Yes.
Welcome.
Honored. Yes.
Yeah, we've been talking about doing this for a while now, so we're super excited to have you on our show, and we're going to come be on your show not too long from now, so we're excited about that. So look for the crossover event coming soon.
100%. Yeah, man. The B-Movie community coming together.
Yes, the B-Movie Summit.
Hell yeah.
Yes.
Well, guys, we have so much to get into with this movie. We watched Butt Boy, in case I didn't say that yet. So we are going to hop right into something called Quick Takes.
Quick Takes!
Mike Hayes, let's see if we can hear you a little bit better for this one. Quick Takes.
Well, since I'm not making a fart noise, let me just say this.
Oh, yeah.
This movie must have been so much fun to make, to come up with the concept, to brainstorm with your friends, to sit in a bar or wherever you are and just to just bullshit back and forth and just have a really fun time coming up with this movie concept. It's just a real bummer it doesn't quite pay off.
Wah, wah.
Well, that's one man's opinion. How about you, Chris Hudson?
I'd give him my quick take, but it disappeared right up my butt.
Jason Halls.
Paul, do you remember the movie High Fidelity?
Sure do.
Do you remember the scene when Jack Black and his buddy are listening to the Skater Punks music and playing over the speakers? Do you remember that scene?
Kind of, yeah.
Well, Jack Black's sitting there, and he's like, it's really good. That's how I feel about
it. He doesn't want to admit it.
Yeah.
Gotcha. So guys, this is a little thing that we do called quick takes, and I know I didn't give you much warning, but Joe, you got a quick take for me?
My first thought was this is a crazy B movie masquerading as a real movie.
It's a great way to put it, actually. Lamar?
Zodiac Killer plus a lot of ass jokes.
Yes.
That's this movie. Wow.
That is correct.
I wouldn't mind seeing Jake Gyllenhaal in a sequel.
Bubble Butt Boy.
Bubble Butt Boy. Oh my God. God damn it.
Butt Boy number two.
Oh yeah, and it's got to be number two.
The deuce.
Butt Boy. Written by Tyler Kornack and Ryan Koch.
Butt Boy.
Directed by Tyler Kornack and starring Tyler Kornack, Tyler Rice, and Shelby Dash.
Too many Tylers.
Anybody have a synopsis, or you want me to burn through it? It's what I did last episode.
I think the police chief had a pretty great synopsis, but I didn't write it down.
There's no synopsis that could really encapsulate what this movie really is.
That's true.
Because it's not just that. It is that, but it's also not that.
It's always that third part, like, that's like, da-da-da-da-da, up people's butts, and you're like,
yeah.
Chip Gutchell is our main character in this film, and when you were watching this movie, what was your first impression of Chip as we get introduced to him here?
Well, my whole impression on him as a character, I think I'm gonna pull a Lamar here. I think the whole movie is a metaphor. It's about a guy getting it up the butt, like getting married and having children and living the married life.
He's the worst.
It's all a metaphor.
Jay, I mean, this is something that you and Chris know a little something about.
Putting things up our butt?
I was about to say.
We weren't supposed to talk about that.
Hang on, Paul.
Hey, I don't know you that well.
Not that there's anything wrong with it.
I don't have the soul-draining experience that Chip does, though.
Well, I do because I also work in IT, so...
Yeah. Chris is a little more office space than I am.
Just talk about the family situation that they have going on here a little bit, Jay.
Well, I mean, they have a child, and they live in the suburbs. Right? They have a baby, and Chip is just clearly not happy with his life and his choices. It seems like his wife she's just not into him at all. Mm-hmm. So at home, he doesn't have a very fulfilling life. At work, I mean, it's very office space. Like, he doesn't have a very fulfilling job or experience at work, and he feels overlooked. And they do a very good job illustrating his whole situation in a very short amount of time.
His whole situation, huh?
The movie is about a sad sack fucker who I have no sympathy for, who has nothing good to do with himself and finds a little bit of pleasure. And instead of nurturing that and going with it, he takes it 0 to 69 so quick. And then he goes from, I'm going to stick something up my asshole to I'm going to stick living creatures up my asshole. And he takes it to the extreme.
Now, hold, if I may, Chris, you said that Brain Damage was the best film about addiction you've ever seen. Where does Butt Boy rank?
I wrote in my notes that this is the best film about addiction I have ever seen.
Oh, God.
It eclipses Brain Damage?
I don't remember what score I gave Brain Damage, but there's a pretty good chance it eclipses Brain Damage.
I guess we'll find out. Time will tell.
Spoiler alert.
Now, Joe, Lamar, you know, I don't know exactly how old you guys are. I think that we might all be relatively in the same age range where you're kind of getting to that point where you got to start thinking about prostate exams. Everybody's got to do it at some point. And we get a scene here with Chip where, you know, the day comes where he has to go do that. And Lamar, how would you describe this? It maybe goes a little bit better than Chip expected.
You gave me the alley-oop about symbolism because everything leads to the prostate. Hint, wink, wink. That's his release. So it's actually his opening to what he is doing. But he uses his powers for evil. So it's about choices and stuff like that. So to him, it was good, but he used it in the wrong way. So, yeah. Mm.
Pure cinema, really.
Yeah.
He, you know, kind of tries to get Anne, his wife, to maybe try some new things in the bedroom.
But she doesn't want to have any bit of it, Paul. She doesn't want to in any way, and he keeps trying to pull her hand into his ass crack, and she's like, no, no. And he's like, come on, just try. Come on, baby, just try.
It's probably a good thing that she didn't do it, too, because who knows what would have happened. She might have just gotten pulled
right up.
Yeah.
Well, this is before he really got into the whole process, so...
But
she
it
just
could have been an accident.
She may have just lost an arm.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
This maybe. It could be.
But so Joe, Chip here has to, you know, I guess take matters into his own hands in a way.
Well, his own butthole.
His own butt.
His own butt, yeah. I don't know what to say. Like, I was blown away by the whole movie. Blown away. I didn't know where they were going to go with that. I thought maybe it would be some kind of magical thing, how stuff was going to get up his butt. But then I was like, oh, shit, he's just putting it up there himself.
Did you guys watch the trailer or anything? Did you guys know anything about this movie going in?
No.
I just read the description. That was it.
I watched the trailer, and I was like, what? Like, it was way too serious for this type of...
Yeah.
Well, can we talk about the tone?
Yeah.
I really want to talk about the tone of this movie.
Go ahead, Chris.
This movie would... It's played completely straight. There are no jokes. There's... The acting is... The acting is really great, to be honest, I thought, anyway.
You know, I even thought the guy's De Niro impression worked, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, like, this whole movie would fit into that kind of hard-boiled crime sort of thriller genre, except for the guy's fucking asshole.
Oh, no. I have a different except, if I may.
What is it?
Yeah.
Here's my beef with the movie. I liked the movie. Let's just clear the room. I liked the movie. But my beef with it... is that it's this butt joke that is perfectly fit inside of this slow burn detective noir, right? It's all kind of gritty and quiet and moody. The whole movie's that way. Except what makes a slow burn detective noir good is that there's a mystery and a crime being solved. But the whole movie, we know exactly what's happening. And the only surprise is really the weird shit about the butt. But there's no, like, there's no mystery or being solved. We, as the audience, know both sides of the situation, which gets rid of little, some of the butt trigue is gone.
Well, I think it's more like a Breaking Bad situation.
Oh, it's
more like Breaking Bad. Seriously. Where you see Walter White devolve into this villain, and at the same time, you see Hank trying to solve it. So you see the two sides coming together.
Totally.
And so yes, it is different in the from what you're saying, but personally, I didn't have a problem with the way it was.
Except this one ends with an explosion.
Yeah. It sure does.
Yeah, I almost feel like there could have been like a little bit more of like he was going so crazy, putting stuff up his butt, like he had to solve the crime in a certain amount of time, or the president was going to get up there or something, or something.
The whole city's in danger.
So you think he should have been a serial person, like he was kept on doing? Okay.
Yeah, like he's like, well, this is not good enough. How about a car? And it just keeps getting scaling it up.
Like he's gonna take the Sears Tower up his ass if they don't stop him.
It's a fucking butt based Katamari Damacy. Yeah.
We're not even like 8 minutes into this thing yet. Like, I have a note here that says 8.5 minutes into the movie, and he's already shoved a dog up his ass. I mean, it all happens fairly quickly, Jay.
I have in my notes, wow, 13 minutes in, and we get the opening credits. And Chip has already tried to, like, kill himself because he can't handle the guilt of putting a child and the child's mother up his butt.
No, he didn't put the child's mother. He didn't do the mother. Because we see the mother.
No, we see the mother later.
Yeah.
It's another issue with the film. There's a handful of stuff that they don't really put into, but it doesn't matter.
They don't really explain.
It doesn't matter. It's a fun, romp.
You're saying that you had an issue that he didn't put the mother up his butt?
Yeah, that is exactly what I meant. Not putting mama up there is, I think, I don't know. I got nothing, man.
That would have made Detective Fox's story a little bit differently if the mother were put up there too.
We get after the opening credits here, we get introduced to Detective Russell Fox.
His beard is magnificent. It's something. Oh God, I would ask him what his regimen was, and he's just kind of like a raspy voice kind of guy. I mean, he's hard edged. I mean, because there's another scene where he busts into like a freaking drug den, and just would swat people.
Yeah, that drug raid is great.
That was pretty cool. So yeah, he's your typical hard edged detective. Yeah,
the guy that played him, it was really good. I kept on for some reason looking at him like, is this guy like a Baldwin? Like, is he related to the Baldwins or something? There was something about him.
Well, I think so. This movie is based off a sketch by Tiny Cinema, from what I've gathered. I haven't seen the original sketch. Yeah.
Yeah.
Chip does like minute long sketches with a troop of people. And the other Tyler, who plays Detective Fox, is one of the members of this troop. And so, I don't know, they seem to have a pretty good rapport, and they've done sketch comedy before. And He's not a Baldwin, and he's just one of the guys that Chip has worked with before with his sketch comedy.
Well, he comes across, though, like he's trying to do a De Niro impression, thought. But it actually, I saw that the first scene, I'm like, well, what is this? But then I liked it.
Yeah.
I think he pulled it off pretty well.
Totally.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think he had cramps in his forehead, like from wrinkling his forehead constantly?
Probably.
And squinting his eyes.
Right. He's trying. It comes off as pastiche in the beginning, but by the end, I think it. I don't know. I liked it.
He also has a bit of a chance encounter with Chip.
Whoops.
Yeah, they kind of develop a little bit of a relationship, I guess you'd call it.
That's something that annoys me about movies. I guess they have to find a way to cross the characters. Mm-hmm. But I hate it when they do it in that way, where it's like, it's so much of a coincidence. Like, you're going to be in an AA and he's going to become your sponsor and everything. That annoys me in movies for some reason.
Well, I think actually we should point out, and maybe I forgot to mention this. I can't remember if anyone has said it yet or not, but it's 9 years later all of a sudden.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So Chip realized that he was taking things too far, kind of like a serial killer does, and managed to stop himself.
Paul?
Yes, Chris.
I just want to say, do you think Chip has his 9 years rectal sobriety chip from AA?
He is the 9 year rectal sobriety chip.
So here's the thing, and Joe, if you want to talk about this a little bit, Chip goes to these AA meetings, but he's not coming clean with why he's actually there. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah,
coming clean.
Coming clean.
Keep on going. I'm loving this. Just keep on going.
There is some weird bit where I guess it's maybe supposed to help show Russell, the detective's impulse, lack of control of impulse, because he's pouring hot sauce all over his entire goddamn plate.
Well, it establishes he brings his own hot sauce on like a holster because he loves it so much.
So great.
Yes. But there's love it. There's nothing else to that.
No. What?
At no point does hot sauce come up.
Hot sauce absolutely comes up later.
I am the king if hot sauce saves my fucking life by being sucked up a dude's butt, I am the king of surviving the day.
Thank you for that, Chris. Good to know.
The interesting thing that happens during this hot sauce scene is Russell offers hot sauce to Chip, and Chip says, I'm good, my whole body would explode.
Oh,
he
yeah.
says that, which is foreshadowing.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I think what matters about this scene, really, is that Russell talking about his alcoholism and how much he loves alcohol and the things that he loves. He even says, like, I miss the hangovers. And that ends up kind of triggering Chip.
Yeah.
He thinks about his addiction, and Lamar, it ends up kind of sending him on a little bit of a downward spiral, I guess you might say.
It's kind of ironic that he's going to an AA meeting, and he's been, you know, clean of putting things up people's butts for this whole time, and then he talks to somebody, and all of those things, just those emotions come rushing back and everything like that. So that was very interesting. Yeah.
We get a moment here where we see that he has some hang-ups with his ex. I don't know if it's his ex-wife or his ex-girlfriend.
Ex-wife.
Yeah.
I
think it's his ex-wife. Yeah. He is a little bit of a creeper. You know, he's struggling. He's a troubled guy. He climbs a tree and stares into her window. And we see that she has a new man in her life. You know, he gets upset and he tries to call Chip, but Chip, the sponsor, does not answer the phone.
You gotta answer the phone if you're somebody's sponsor. Those are the rules.
Not if you've fallen off the rectal sobriety wagon.
Chip is instead shoving up, for the first time after 9 years, a sorry game piece up his butt, which I think is a metaphor that it's a sorry game piece.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Nice.
Right?
He was sorry, yeah, because things got deep. again. So you got to keep it going. With this movie, you just got to keep on making those connections. Yeah.
I thought at some point, I thought for sure he would put his wife up his butt. I was like, he's going to get her eventually. Like,
well, I thought at the birthday scene, something bad was going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Joe, it's bring your kid to work day over at RTM. And we get just a really fun, harmless game of hide and seek here.
Until another random child, one of the other co-workers' child gets taken up the butt. Goes, disappears, and
yeah,
that's really when it started to pick up too, where like now everyone's like, we got to find the kid. Like it's a whole big, you know, mystery now. This kid just disappeared out of nowhere. Nah. So yeah.
The other mystery is who still uses 3.5 floppy disks.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
I thought you do, Lamar, with your old browser and everything.
All right. Exactly. Who else is using my technology?
We had
But I was just like.
We had a few tech issues before the episode tonight, but.
I did really like the scene between Chip and Fox because he's interviewing everybody in the building. He's like, nobody's getting out of here until I talk to every single person. We're going to find this kid. Nobody's going home. And eventually they get to Chip, who's the IT guy, who is the guy who should be able to access the cameras, which have all been wiped. And Fox is curious about this. And there's, I think, a really good dialogue scene between the two of them because not only is he questioning Chip about his involvement or possible involvement in this, he's also confronting him about totally disappearing from his life and not helping him as a sponsor. All of that tension is there in the conversation between the two in a movie where a guy puts stuff up his butt.
I don't think that we can really understate how much the tone really matters. Chris brought it up, and it really, to me, like, I don't think the movie would work at all, really, if it was a comedic, you know, if it was like a slapstick thing or something.
We've
like
all
that.
Seen butt-themed comedies. Who cares?
Right. We get it, butt crack.
I wasn't sure what to expect because I thought for sure at some point, I was like, well, they're just playing it serious for a little while. I was like, for sure, at some point, this is going to turn into like a trauma style or something. And they just kept it straight the whole time. I was like, wow, okay.
Yeah. I'm going to burn through some stuff here if you guys don't mind. We tend to do that sometimes on the show when we have
you're going to plop right through it, Paul?
Just plop right through this thing. Anne finds out that Chip has been going to AA meetings. She didn't know that he was in AA, and she's a little bit pissed about that because Chip just, you know, did not mention anything, and he's been going for like 5 years or something like that. And then Chip shoves a kitten up his ass. And Detective Fox is tracking him. He has his suspicions, and he is, you know, moving in on his target. And eventually, we get a scene here, Lamar, if you want to talk about this, where Russell comes over to have dinner with Chip and Ann over at their house.
Like, for Chip, maybe it was a way to, like, kind of, you know, throw him off his balance of, like, you know, searching for him and everything like that. But then... after they have this delicious dinner and talk about things. He's like, hey, man, you know, I got a long road ahead of me. I got to take a shit.
Anne is really into Detective Fox. She really, like, enjoys his demeanor.
But can we say what a dick move it was to drink a fucking bottle of wine with two alcoholics?
Yeah.
And she was living it up, too. She wasn't
She was
waving it around. She's like, okay, guys, don't drink my wine. And then she just walks off.
Cracking jokes. Oh.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say that makes her the most villainous character of the movie, though. I'm going to say she's still on the good guy side of the scale compared to.
Can I also say this is another scene with really great tension when, which is in such an unexpected place because Fox is in there taking a dump, or at least acting like he's taking a dump. And Chip has hidden that floppy disk under his sink in his bathroom, and he starts to get nervous, right? So he keeps trying to get Russ out of there, and he's like, dude, leave me alone. Back away from the door.
Away from the door.
It's so great.
Now it's serious. Like, we're beyond jokes now.
What's he do?
Well, he gets under the... He starts looking, finds the floppy, and by the time Chip busts in, Fox has got his gun, and he's standing there pointing the gun at him.
Why didn't he shove it up his ass?
Right? Yes.
Good point.
Because his wife was talking to him. But, like, he... Just get it up there. He knows it's fucking evidence for a major crime.
Like, he did try at one point. I think there was a scene... Where he went into the bathroom and his wife's yelling at him and he's trying to take the evidence and shove it up his ass, but he can't
then
do it.
Then go back later and do it. It's a fucking crime.
Right? Yes,
he's got
exactly.
Criminal evidence.
Yes.
Is it the like sharp corners on the edge of the disc? Is that what the issue is?
No, they're rounded off. They're rounded off.
No, he put a remote control up his ass. That's got to be fucking
He put a puppy up his ass.
A cat.
Sharp
a cat
claws.
Has fucking claws. Yeah.
Teeth.
He should be relaxed enough to take pretty much anything.
Yes, it should be easy. Yeah. Flop or crazy idea, guys. Crazy. Snap it in half, throw it in the garbage can.
Yeah.
Just a fucking wild thought. Just a fucking thought.
I guess Russell just gets away, right? Like, there's no consequences to... Russell taking the disc. Do I have that right?
Oh no. And see, that's what it is about this movie is like it turns into dang near not like a chase, but it's more like a creep, like a stalking. And then they finally, collide and everything like that. And then I guess we find out that Chip has a new power of the most powerful farts of all time. And I will say this, I thought he was at first sucking in. But I guess he was pushing out. That's what I thought.
I thought he was sucking in.
He's sucking, baby.
He was
sucking in that.
Okay,
ass,
so
yeah.
He is sucking. Okay.
With a beautiful sound, by the way.
there's a confrontation, right? They have a fight on the street. Mm-hmm. Chip gets a bloody nose and all this stuff. He maybe gets his nose broken. And then Detective Fox gets back in the car to call for backup. And his window immediately gets smashed. Now, maybe that's what you're talking about. Like, is that the power of the fart right there?
Yeah, is that the power of the fart? I guess it's sucking in because, you know, now we have to get into science. You know, you're collapsing the windows and everything like that.
An asshole that strong could probably handle both. Blowing and sucking.
Yeah. Russell loses his job effectively, right? Like,
yeah, the chief, he says something about the disc, and the chief just goes, "Get out of my precinct."
Well, you can't have a hard-boiled cop movie without the cop losing his job.
It's true.
Right. Right.
Oh yeah,
it's essential.
Good actor for the chief too.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Now we kind of get this pretty big reveal here from Russell. I think that this is where the reveal happens.
Close enough.
The kid that Chip put up his butt 9 years ago was his kid.
Yeah. So he was, once again, that's just one of those things. I don't like all the things tie in like that. I just don't like it. I don't know why, but.
Too convenient?
Yeah. There's something about all that. But yeah, I mean, I guess it makes sense the way they did it because it did come together.
What if, because Russell lost his kid 9 years ago, he then became a police officer and eventually became a detective? What if this is what led him down that path in the first place?
Wow.
Chip sowed the chips of his own destruction.
And then, Joe, here is where we get the big laser tag scene, which Russell was invited to earlier.
That's so great.
Yeah.
This is a great montage.
Well, good God. I mean, who? Well, he busts in on the kid's birthday party at the laser tag. But he shoots him, too, right? He shoots him in the leg.
Yeah.
Yeah, he shoots Chip in the leg. But busts out his huge pistol.
Yeah. Well, it's great because, like, there's the hall, the kids playing laser tag shooting each other, and Chip kind of rounds a corner, and it's built up as if he's cornering a kid to suck up his butt. And there's fucking Russ with his fucking pistol. Like, holy shit.
Which, this whole thing is a pretty brave scene to shoot nowadays.
Yeah. Oh, God.
You know, like, an unhinged cop walking through a kid's laser tag birthday party, firing a pistol.
Going berserk, yeah.
Joe and Lamar, we got to get you to talk about the soundtrack a little bit, because, Joe, I know you're a music guy, and what did you think of the music in this movie?
I actually, really enjoyed it. It fit the music film perfectly. It had like a tense stuff and had some synth and stuff like that. Really everything about this movie was really well done. The sound, and it looked great too, by the way. I don't know if we didn't talk about that yet, but just everything was top notch. It was really good.
I mean, yeah, Joe, of course, you know way more about music. I know a little bit more about just, you know, video editing and video production. The lighting was great. The laser tag was great. And then also where they go to the little like bar or whatever. Well, this wasn't a bar, it was a restaurant. That was lit well. I think also the editing was very well done. It was everything in this movie, of course, once again, about shoving things up a man. But the editing is just spot on, where it leaves you uneasy. And that's just, it's just crazy that a movie like this would have that type of like production value, really.
Yeah, the production values were good.
It was really good.
All right, well, Jay, I think we're going to give this to you.
Yes.
I think you know what I'm getting at here.
Oh, I know what you're getting at.
Yeah, the laser tag situation doesn't go very well for Detective Fox.
This is great timing, Paul, because I have in bold in my notes here, I realize at this point I'm completely invested in this crazy premise. So, Russell gets pulled up the butt. We didn't think we were going here.
No.
But we go there. Yeah. Russell wakes up in a hellish-looking cave that is his anus, his intestines. Yes. You're inside of him. And it's like a TARDIS, Chris. It's bigger on the inside.
Yeah. Oh, I caught that. This is in the Doctor Who universe, without a doubt.
Doctor Pooniverse, actually.
Doctor Pooniverse,
nice. Yes.
All of the stuff that he has put up his butt over time, and all of the people. Well, I don't know about all the people, but...
No, all the people, because there's this scene where when Russ finds the missing hide-and-seek kid, the dog fucking runs behind them.
Yeah, the dog's in here. Brilliant. And his son.
It's a great shot, and his son is in there, too.
His son, nine years older, who can't speak.
Well, how could he? He wouldn't have any idea. He's never heard English before.
Right. He's just been wandering around in this guy's butt for 9 years.
And what are they eating? They show what they eat. What the fuck? What is
whatever
that?
Does not get digested by...
Probably a lot of corn.
I like how the other kid just kind of embraced the whole thing. Like, they say grace before dinner.
Yeah. Oh, God.
He's like, well, it is what it is.
Doesn't he say something to the effect, like, he's like, because Fox was like, it smells awful. He's just like, you'll get used to it. Yeah, this kid is having the worst life ever, like, for real. Dear God.
Well, and when the fart comes down, he's like, he's not even surprised.
It's a fart! It's a fart!
So good.
Oh, it's great.
Yeah, Chris, I wanted to ask you about this, too, because in our group text that we have, you messaged us, and you sent us a cave gif. And you sent a really long what? It seems like you were struggling for this part a little
no,
bit.
No, I was not struggling. I was like, what the fuck just happened? This is the most amazing moment in cinematic history. It's like they're just in a cave that represents this IT worker's anus, and I can completely 100% relate to this. This is so good.
Which side of it? The guy with the cave anus or the guy in the cave anus?
All of it, really.
You know, okay. At the end of the day, there's such a fine line between the two, you know?
Yeah. I mean, come on. You can't expect
aren't we
me
all
to...
up somebody else's anus?
I didn't quite get this part, and I'm asking Joe and Lamar here, so everybody else shut the fuck up. They've been up here for a while now. The three of them together, like a month goes by, basically.
Yeah.
And Russell is somehow like loosening Chip's ass. Did you guys get this part? I wasn't quite sure on this part right here.
I just thought it was just because he was putting so much stuff up there. But yeah, was he responsible for it, Lamar?
I thought it was the nurse.
I thought, yeah, he goes to the nurse and then that opens things again, you know, because, you know, it's a circle.
With fingers.
The fingers. And so maybe that, like, you know, opened up things where they were like, okay, if we use this, you know, opening, this opportunity,
right,
we will slowly pass through things and then eventually we can, you know, open his, you know, anus back up so we can escape. That's how I took it. Yeah.
Well, it seems to be working, Jay, because Rocky comes back.
Oh, man, there's a pretty grody shot. The dog's in the
so
toilet.
Good. It's so good.
Oh. That's the filmmaker's actual dog, by the way.
Is it really?
Yeah, that's Marty, the Tyler's dog.
That makes sense because it's like, wow, that dog was good.
I'm pretty sure the Chip's significant other is the director's significant other as well.
I thought maybe that might be the case too.
Help me out with this, Paul, because I did not. This is, I think, the one part of the movie that I didn't really get was where they were planning to send out. Was his name Andrew, the kid, the hide and seek kid?
Yeah.
He had something on his face or something, like, did he get digested?
I've got this.
He drank something, yeah.
Chris, go ahead.
Yeah, someone asked if Andrew died in this movie. So, to set the scene, Chip drank some sort of, like, antacid or stomach.
Some elixir.
I don't know what to say. Some elixir.
I couldn't figure out what that was.
Like Pepto.
The color and everything.
Yeah, yeah. Basically a super strong Pepto. And Andrew touched it, and he started, like... It affected him, and it started killing him.
Mm-hmm.
And the director did confirm that, yes, Andrew did indeed die from this.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah.
Sad,
so sad.
Sad
saddest moment of the movie.
Mm.
Chip has spun the whole situation of Russell coming in as some sort of, you know, whatever, crazed gunman.
Right.
And this is where the hot sauce comes into play.
In a bit, in a little bit. At the press conference.
Well, but yeah, he's going to accept an award from the mayor and the chief of police because everybody thinks he's a hero. And this is happens to be when Russell makes his move. He takes out the hot sauce that's on his belt and starts pouring it everywhere in Chip's butthole to try to inspire a fart.
Oh.
That's his plan. Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I was like, I swear it's a lighter he uses as you're describing.
Yeah, no, it
this.
Is. But no, he gets the fart.
He does. Yeah, he lights it. Yeah.
I'm just. I didn't. I missed both times I watched this. The hot sauce to get the fart thing. Because I was like, I swear it's a lighter as you're describing this. But I'm like, now you say this all, and it's all coming. It's all flooding back to me like a bad fart.
Yeah.
That's why I love this bit so much. Is because. It was ridiculous that he had hot sauce on like a holster, and then I forgot about it because why would I remember that? And then he whips it out at the end to get the fart going.
It's Chekhov's hot sauce, Jay.
It really is. You got to introduce it in Act One and use it by Act Three. Just classic stuff right here.
Flawless execution.
But let's give the floor to Joe and Lamar here for the big finale, for the big climax here, guys. I would love if you could talk a little bit about. What happens here with the lighter and the hot sauce situation?
A fatal case of heartburn, indigestion,
upset stomach, diarrhea.
Upset stomach, diarrhea. Just put everything in there. Only this doesn't result in your tummy feeling bad. It just blows Chip up in front of everybody, and blood goes everywhere. And Fox and his son walk out, and then in the hero shot, he has the 3.5 floppies. Like, this is all the evidence you need.
He hands it to the police chief, and his look on that guy's face is the greatest, you know.
Case closed.
Everyone is in just an absolute state of shock. They're covered in blood and shit and organs and all sorts of body parts. It's a horrific scene.
There are sausages on strings. It's great.
And I just want to mention really quick, Mike, did you happen to notice that girl who was in our apartment that one time when we lived together was in this scene right here, covered in blood and all sorts of stuff?
No.
I figured you wouldn't. Her name is Colleen Elizabeth Miller. She played someone named Cindy who worked with Chip at RTM. And she's in a couple scenes, and she's in this scene as well. Colleen, if you're listening, great job. I hope it wasn't too traumatic for you. You don't remember that, Mike?
No.
Have I met her?
You haven't met her, but she was in Paranormal Calamity, which we saw.
I remember this.
Yeah. She was in the movie.
No kidding.
Well, there you go. You can check her out in Paranormal Calamity. Me and Jay were at the premiere for that film. We had a great time.
We sure did.
Just a strange little sidebar that I thought I would mention.
Hey, it's on the editing floor. It's fine.
Yeah. It's not. It's in. Jay, you want to talk about... I love the ending of this movie. I really do.
Yes. I'm glad we're not going past this. This is just a ridiculous small detail of performance, but I love it. It's everything's in slow motion now. 9-year-old kid has to go to the hospital, obviously, because he's never been to a doctor because he's been up a man's butt his most of his life. So they take him to the hospital, and he's in the hospital room. He's getting cleaned off and checked out and all this. And the mom, the ex-wife of Russell, comes running in with her new man, and he's just sitting there like a mess, just a disheveled mess, and just slow motion points to the boy. He's rescued their child. She runs in. It's a happy reunion. He looks over to the new father, and they kind of have an understanding. They nod at each other, like, man to man, like, yeah, this is going to be okay. And I think that's it.
He walks out the door. It's like his job is done, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And, it's awesome.
And he leaves probably to go right back to his, probably shooting people later that night.
Drinking a couple bottles of whiskey, too.
A couple bottles of whiskey,
He does not drink whiskey. He drinks Tom Collins's.
Oh, Tom
Collins. Which is a gin drink.
Okay, well.
A summer gin drink.
Hey, Tom Collins knows no season.
Rating time.
I want to just open the floor right now, and I want to throw, you know, if you guys got anything that you want to throw out there for what the rating system could be, so, you know, something in relation to this film, by all means, throw it out there. I want to hear some suggestions. And let's start with Joe and Lamar.
Well, the rating system, you know what you should use for the rating system is the hot sauce scale.
Scoville.
Scoville.
That makes sense.
Just to tie it all in together somehow.
Right.
Scoville's pretty good. It might be better than mine, which is 1 to 100. You've heard this term before. Rectal sobrieties.
Oh, Lord. Jesus.
Not bad. Not bad.
I mean, crossover for, you know, you guys, you know, having us on your show, like, we could do, like, 100 turds, like, you know.
Oh, 100, 1 to 100 perfect turds.
Perfect turds.
That'd be great.
I mean, we could extend out.
That,
like,
could be wonderful, yeah.
Yes.
Would fit perfectly.
Dingleberry turds.
Yeah.
I'm certainly going to be doing the graphic for this one, so you guys can do pretty much whatever you want for this. You can do Scoville units. You can do perfect turds. You can do butt boys. You can do kids up the butt. You can do, was there
rectal
one more in
sobrieties.
There? Rectal sobrieties. I feel like it should be rectal sobriety something. Rectal sobriety chips? I don't know.
Sure. I'm not. I'm an alcoholic. I'm not an anonymous alcoholic.
Rectal. You get a chip, you know, every month or every year or whatever. Rectal sobriety chip. So, I don't know. Let's start with, let's start with Butt Boy Mike.
You're just making me go first always, huh?
Well, all right. You know what? We'll mix it up a little bit.
I'll do it.
Okay. All right. Go ahead.
This movie's fun. I think it was much more fun to think about before it got made. I just don't think it lives up to what it could be. It's a little lacking. It should probably be about half an hour shorter. The pace really mellows out in the middle, which I think is intentional, and that's fine because it's supposed to be that brooding thing. But I really wanted something else. There needed to be something else in there for me. There needed to be some sort of intrigue or character development in any possible way or anything like that. To really push it over the edge for me. But I love a bad joke stretched out like Chip's butthole. It's, you know, so I'm happy about that. There's a lot of little jokes throughout too. And as people said, the music's great. The cinematography is fucking fantastic. There's some really good shots that really lend itself to the noir look it was going for. And I really liked that a lot. One of the little jokes I noticed we didn't mention, but during one of the stakeouts, Russell is staring at Chip, and you can see a reflection across the windshield, and there's, like, packs of cigarettes and stuff like that, because he's always smoking, and there's, you know, like, wrappers of candy bars, and there's also just an open, unwrapped, unfurled condom on there, too.
I didn't see that.
For no reason, but it's there. And so I'm going to rate this movie 68 windshield condoms.
Wow.
Came up with a whole nother thing. Okay, 68.
Oh, shit.
I'll take it. You know what? Let's mix it up a little bit here. Let's throw it to Lamar.
Yeah, I would say, yeah, the cinematography was great, music, everything. And it's just like, yeah, they do have a pacing issue, but I think that's on purpose. It's this weird high comedy thing that they were doing. Like, you know this is a joke, right? But we're putting it in a real movie. So it's one of those movies where it's like, check this out. Just stay for the ride because it's going to win you over. And I think everybody kind of said this too. The acting was really good too. Mm-hmm. And to keep a straight face to talk about this, it takes some talent. And so I will give it 80 what do we say? Rectal, what is it?
Sobriety ships.
Yes.
All right.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Very nice. Let's go to you, Jay.
I think the ridiculous premise works so well because the filmmaking and writing is so solid.
Mm-hmm.
You could have easily screwed this entire thing up and it could have been awful. But because they know how to competently establish good characters and set stakes, that's why you can lay such a ridiculous premise on top of it and it all still works and you still you feel tension. This movie has no business being this good. Like, that's why if I say the title or try to describe what this is, someone's going to be like, what are you even talking about? Like, no, I'm not going to watch this movie. So I think in a way, like, there's a little work to be done to try to market this thing appropriately. But I really liked this movie. I really did. I respect the fact that they swung so hard for the fences, and they nailed it.
Oh yeah,
personally.
Wow.
So I'm gonna say 87 Scoville units.
Scoville units, going with the Scovilles. Very nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Excellent. Joe, how about you?
All right. Well, I agree with some of the earlier points. It could have been a little shorter in the pacing. But it did look great. It sounded great. The music was great. The writing, the acting, all of that. I almost wish it was titled something different, because this is a movie where I'm going to tell people, you have to see this movie.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And if they go, what is the movie? If I say Butt Boy, people are going to be like, what? It is that exactly that to me. This is just one of those things where I just got to tell people, you got to see this. I don't know.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna give it 85 perfect turds.
All right.
Nice.
Loving all the different ratings here. This is gonna be fun to do. Well, that's great. I am, first of all, let me just say that I'm glad that all of you watched this with me, and it's great to have the Perfect Turd Boys here to talk about Butt Boy. We wouldn't have it any other way. Yeah, I think I'm on Team Jay here and Team Joe. And
Paul, Chris hasn't gone yet.
Oh, I'm so sorry, Chris.
Jeez. Are you going to let Hudson review it?
Yeah. I guess no one cares what I have to say about this because it relies on everyone else's reviews.
I got out of order and I thought I was done.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let me rewind that. All right, Chris, let's see what you got to say about this here Butt Boy.
Well, you see, Paul, I am a humble caveman. So I cannot articulate things such as perfect lighting and wonderful production values. But I pretty much agree with Jay that this movie it's pretty good. Like, everything about this is so great.
Yeah.
And, like, to Joe's point, I actually convinced a friend at work to watch this movie. I told her the name of it, and then I told her what it was about and what it was like. And she's like, "Ah, I'll give it a try." And then she responded. Then she returned to me that, yeah, you know, that was weird, but pretty good.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I think there's like a mainstream audience for this movie that could be amazing with the proper marketing. Mm-hmm. But
I don't know about that, but okay.
Well, other than that, though, I mean, I disagree with Mike and people who talked about the pacing. I mean, yeah, it's slow, but the pacing totally worked for me. I didn't once wonder when this would end, and the slow pacing kind of made the last act like, what the fuck am I watching? Like, that that far into the movie, I still wondered where this was going. Mm-hmm. I love that the dedication to this entire concept. It's just sheer brilliance. So in honor of our guests tonight, I will also rate this 92 perfect turds.
Wow.
Very nice.
Nice. Paul, what do you think?
Well, you know, oddly enough, I kind of agree with what everybody has to say about this. Like, I actually agree with Mike that, you know, maybe some of the pacing could have been a little bit quicker. I don't think you need to cut a full half hour out of it, but you probably could have trimmed 5 or 10 minutes and maybe been a little bit better off for it. But that being said, I do think that it was done, you know, with a certain intention in terms of the pacing and in terms of the mood and the attitude and all that good stuff. So I thoroughly enjoyed it. And I have to tell you that, you know, if you give this a second watch or if you give this a third watch, it's as fun, if not more fun, the second or third time around.
Yeah.
So it's got a little rewatch value there as well. So love it. I'm going to go 95. And
nice.
I think I'll just go Butt Boys. 95. Butt Boys up the butt. How about that?
Oh, good.
Sounds
tag.
Good.
That's like in infinity, like.
Yeah, I'll put a little infinity symbol underneath it too.
On the next episode of B-Movie Mania,
innovation, invention. Our next movie is a deep exploration of these themes, and they're surfing.
Mm.
The late, great Norm MacDonald called this film box office poison without ever having seen it. We are going to watch
God damn it.
Carrot Top Thompson try to achieve the American dream in Chairman of the Board.
Yes!
No, my God. We're
available
watching fucking
on Tubi. Yes, you are watching a Carrot Top film.
With your opening, I was hoping you were going skinned deep. Invention.
We've already done that one.
Innovation. Castration.
Nope. We're going with Carrot Top.
Motherfucker.
And don't worry, I fully expect you to not like this movie, so I'm probably going to run the episode a little bit differently than we normally do.
You know what's weird, though, Jay? I don't know why, but like maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago, I was scrolling on Tubi, I saw it, I'm like, why haven't we done any Carrot Top on this podcast yet?
Yeah.
So yep. I can't believe that this is actually going to happen now. Wow.
Yeah, well, you know, when Norm passed, you know, a lot of clips of his surfaced to the top of the internet, and I ran across that Conan clip again where Courtney Thorne Smith was on with Norm, and he was just absolutely roasting the entire thing that she was there to promote. And I'm like, well, what is this? And so I went looking for it, and sure enough, there it is on Tubi.
Oh, boy.
I watched the first 10 minutes, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm going to put you through this.
Great. Looking
so
forward
much.
To it.
Can't wait.
Jay, is this your Adam Green's Aladdin?
Mm.
No, because I don't expect anybody to like it, even me. Yeah. So, like, this is just a pure, we're going to do this and get through it episode.
I've got one of those this season.
Listen up, maniacs. Do you have a question or a comment? Would you like to send some bourbon to Uncle Lloydie? You can contact the gang on Facebook at B-Movie Mania. You can also drop them a line at bmoviemania.com. Reach out, touch them. They are touching themselves, and they might just reach back. I'm Lloyd Kaufman saying, see you next time on B-Movie Mania. Woohoo!
We want to say thank you so much, Joe and Lamar, for being our guests on the show tonight. Really appreciate you coming on.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you guys for having us, and we're looking forward for you guys to come on with us. And
yes.
We'll do something crazy.
Yes, we will.
Yeah.
I'll probably announce another pregnancy.
Oh, great.
That's what I did the last time we were on someone else's show.
Jesus, Chris, leave her alone.
Yeah, God.
No promises.
Hey, let's talk a little bit. Let's plug some stuff. We want to know where our listeners should go if they want to check out more Perfect Turd stuff.
Hey, yeah, check us out mostly on YouTube, youtube.com/ Perfect Turd Podcast, and pretty much everywhere else, the same thing, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter.
Yes.
There's only one Perfect Turd podcast, so we're easy to find.
We're originals, man. Hell yeah.
Lock down that IP, baby.
Hell yes.
But links down below on bmoviemania.com to all of the Perfect Turd stuff. Please go check out their YouTube channel. They got a lot of, you know, short and sweet videos that we don't know how to, we don't have any concept of how to do things short and
sweet.
Not
like us.
So if you want that,
not at all like us.
Go over there and check out their bite-sized reviews. They're really fun. They're really good. And you get to see, you know, they do video too. So you get to see them instead of just hearing us. They really know what they're doing is what I'm trying to say. Mike, you want to talk about any of the other stuff or no?
T-shirts!
Go to store.bmoviemania.com. Follow us on fucking socials.
Yeah.
Masks.
Good night.
Pillows.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Turds. Toilet seat covers.
Hot sauce holders.
Ooh, you know.
Butt boys.
Why are you bullshitting?